Hello, fans and friends. This is Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, and we have a brand new show for you today. So thanks for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy it. You know, the craziest thing about doing intros like that is that I'm doing it completely alone in my studio. Isn't that funny? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a raucous new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. If you can't contain yourself, I don't blame you. Keep your panties on and don't get your other garments in a twist, because this is a fresh, loosey-goosey episode, and I am talking to a wall, because this week, as usual, I don't have a guest, and I don't have a co-host, and my brain is all over the wall like a domestic abuse case gone wrong, baby. That's a dark joke, but we are going in strong, my friends. Guys, this is Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, and what a first episode to stumble into. If you have never listened to this show before, I have seen some growth in this show since my Instagram started to, general social media presence, whatever, started to develop over the past year and a half or so. And for those who decided, you know what, I like this guy's videos, maybe I'll check out his podcast. Maybe he talks calmly and in detail about, his experiences in Germany as an American. And I do, but you also get things like this. Because, you know, in the words of a big old dumb idiot, you gotta razzle-dazzle them sometimes. And yes, last week we had the incredible borderline ASMR level guest, Mason Joyner. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. It was a great conversation, a lot of fun. He's so witty, very sharp, and very emotionally deep as well. He's very in touch with, himself. He's very in touch with how he, like, the way he views the world. We talked about it on the episode. There's no doubt about who he is for himself. There's no doubt about what he wants to do and where he wants to go and what he's enjoying, and he can't be convinced otherwise, and he'll always try something new, but immediately upon realizing if he likes it or not, that decision, you know, is made. And it's just very impressive. Mason's an old friend from college, and a really interesting person to have made a full round in terms of where we started in our lives and how he ended up here at my home in Germany. Of all the friends that I regularly talk about from my old group, from this, especially from this particular WhatsApp group that I have with a lot of very close friends from college, I have to say, except for Vivi, back in the day at our old place at the first apartment. If we're being really technical, my very first, 6 months in Germany, my friend Matt and his wife Jenna visited in our very first apartment. And then our real first home, which was for many, many, many years before now, because the place we're in now is really fresh, was only visited by Vivi. Vivi came 2 or 3 times between 2016 and 2019. But since the pandemic has sadly not been able to return, and all the other people in that group have not ever come, as much as it's frequently brought up in drunken conversations of like, I miss you, man. I gotta come check out your place. And, you know, I have grown over time to kind of accept that that's probably not going to happen, that they come see my place here. And it's a tough pill to swallow. However, you know, people are who they are, and it gets easier to live your life by their rules as you get older, because the lens in which you view their choices gets sharper. If that makes any sense, like, you can still be okay with knowing that they're probably not going to do something you really wish they would do because they just are a certain way, and you can still love them despite things you wish that they would do. And Mason is a really interesting person who I, although would never for a single dime on this planet would have exchanged his visit for anyone else's. It is very much a surprise still to me that he did what he did, that he dropped his world, his bubble, his routines, and he came all the way here to Germany. First time in Europe, first time in Germany, he had not been outside of the United States except for one trip 10 years ago for a few days to Belgium. I don't even think we touched on that in the previous episode. But what a great interview. And Mason is someone who I have a ton of respect for. If only you knew who he appeared to me back in the day. You know, Mason, if I really think about it now, in my 30s, Mason was always the same guy. And actually, my perception of his changing was actually just me changing and just seeing him be Mason, which is a beautiful thing and really inspirational. You know, we didn't dive in it too much, and I don't want to divulge Mason's personal life in any sort of outlet because I respect him and that's not who he is. But there's definitely a little window there where Mason kind of disappeared for a while from everyone's lives. We thought, okay, he's not, you know, in New Orleans as much, and he's not doing things. And it was pretty obvious that it was connected to some issues that had gone on between him and a romantic person that he, you know, was involved in, and things didn't go the way that, you know, I'm sure he hoped they would. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But there was a little window there where, like, Mason wasn't around, so we weren't sure, you know, how much he still cared about us or, like, you know, this improv group, this family. And it was really exciting to reconnect with him and to see that he's still this beautiful, smart, intricate, very interesting person. Mason, and not to dwell too much on the previous episode, but as you can tell, it was a big thing for me. He can be such a beautifully quiet person, which if you haven't been around a person who's comfortable in silence in a long time, which I have not been, it can be shocking at first. It can be, what's the word? What's another perfect English word for, like, it can be a little, you know, it can rock your world. It can be a little, like, it can make you uncomfortable pretty quickly, like a little, like, ooh, well, I don't know. Did I say something wrong? Does he not like me? Ooh, did he not like that joke? Or should I correct that? But, like, immediately from picking him up at the airport, that 45-ish, almost hour-long drive back to my place from the airport was, you know, filled with gaps of silence, which for me, for people like me, I was immediately sure that he was regretting his decision. But I learned in the next, you know, 48 to 72 hours that he was not regretting his decision and that he loved it here and that he was enjoying his time. And it was also a chance for him to just catch up on me. It was like, I could almost cry because it was like, it was a chance for someone. It was a chance for someone from my old life to come and see how my real day-to-day personal life is here, what my routines are like, and what my home is like, and what I've worked to make that into, and what my work, what my, you know, what my career has become. Mason didn't even know until last year that I put music on the back burner for a little while to focus on comedy, and that had blown up. It was kind of amazing to take him through town and to have people stop us on the street. You know, three people in one day stopped us on a walk to say they were fans. And I was so happy that he could see that because that's all I'm ever really, like, fighting for people back home to, I shouldn't say it's the only thing, but it's a big part of why I wish more friends from back home would visit, or why more people just in general would visit, because there's a new life that I'm living here that I didn't have, that I had no contact with, that I had no means of interacting with at all until the last year and a half. So like everything about me being here has changed on such a dramatic scale. I just love the fact that he committed, you know. I saw him last year and I told him, you know, renew your visa, come see me. And you know what? He did it. He renewed his passport. I helped him like say, you know, what windows of time and what airlines and stuff could be best to try and get a good ticket. His airline even canceled his original flight and rescheduled him through an alternative that was far more inconvenient than his original plan. And he still had no issue. He stuck to it. He arrived only 6 hours later than planned. And you know what? We had this drive home and he visited my house and he complimented it and he could see how much time and work put into it and he could see me, if that makes sense. And it's so interesting and like magical to me that someone from my old life can come and appreciate it. I feel like I've worked really hard and sacrificed a lot to make a life here. And when somebody from the old world comes and gives it the time and the respect that I feel it deserves, I don't know, I wouldn't say it feels worth it because there's worth in it without them, but you know, it sort of just puts a little extra polish on the car, you know? It puts like this extra bit of sparkle in the glitter box. It's like, yeah, you know, it's just like you look at them, they look at you, they see your life, they see your friends, they see what you've done with your career and, you know, with your personal life, and you kind of get this look in their eyes and they're like, yeah, man, yeah. And then you can go, right? Like, isn't this great? And Mason was exactly that. And maybe it was exactly the perfect person at the perfect time. And I sent a picture of us to this group of people that I mentioned earlier who have yet to visit. And, you know, there were some responses of like, why is Mason there? What's he doing there? You know, like in total surprise that maybe it's an American thing of like, what's he doing there? Probably it was something like that. But, you know, the initial response for me was like, well, he's visiting me, which I would love for you to do, you know? And some other responses were like, yo, he's looking good, which he is. Handsome fella. That's why I think you should stick with acting. He's got the face for it and the talent tenfold. But, you know, it still didn't like strike a chord in them of like, well, Mason, this person from the old days, made it happen out of the woodworks, out of the randomness of chaotic life. He pulled through and committed and actually did it for like 10 days. It wasn't that response, which I think it's just probably time that I stop thinking that something will change their minds and more focus my full love and attention on, if I need to guide my love and attention to people from the old days, it needs to go towards more people like Mason, which there are very few of. And that's just a reality. It's just the filter of people that mean a lot to you as you get older becomes finer and finer. You know, like I've talked about that also before on this show years ago of like when you first move, that pasta drainer of like people you think you're going to talk to forever becomes very fine very quickly. And all of a sudden, a lot of different things that you thought would stick around can't get through anymore. There's less and less contact, and there's more things that you need from them, and they can't fulfill that. And I do regret the years that I wasn't continually communicating with Mason. because now I can see that those that time might have been wasted putting my efforts into two different people. You know, not to say that those friendships aren't still strong with the other people, but Mason is just a very special person to me. And the fact that he took the time and the money and the effort to commit to what he said he was going to do, I'm going to do it. And 1 year later, you know, not to the day, but like, you know, continually staying in contact about it every month, every single month to the day. Like there was a little timer on my phone and we talked about it and it was done. And then the tickets were booked and then he came. And I just can't express how much that means to me. And you know, and then like having him on the show, he was such a blast. And he would probably hate that I say this because he's such a private, closed off person. And as you could probably tell, if you heard it, he doesn't like to be referred to or even be closely connected to acting anymore or like to be an actor. But I was 100% certain when I was about 22 that Mason was going to be, you know, the next like Daniel Day-Lewis or something. Like Mason's very good. And he has this thing in his eyes. And he's comfortable with who he is. And I love him to death. So I know that this was a kind of a long, you know, nearly like 17-minute intro of talking about the previous episode. But if you haven't heard it, go check it out. Mason's wonderful. And there's a link in the previous episode's show notes for a podcast experiment, like a project he's been working on. You can hear more. And just a last little compliment to him. What a voice, huh? What a beautiful, wonderful, deep, rich speaking voice to listen to. He has a dream of going into voice acting and doing characters for, you know, who knows, animations, video games. That's amazing. He should totally do it. He's great. And I hope that one day I can be in the control of a project where I have the creative freedom to choose Mason to be in something. Because off mic, separately, I don't know if we mentioned this, but I remember asking him like, hey, you know, I know you're like really done with acting, but if a friend, someone you cared about, brought you a project that you liked the script, would you do it? And he was like, yeah, of course, you know? And I was like, yes, okay, so there's a chance. There's a chance to do something with him. And okay, so I will stop there with Mason, and we can. There's a lot of other things to talk about, especially on the topic of acting. There are a couple of things that I would like to bring up with you guys. A few things that I have not talked about anywhere else yet, and that's the magic of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. That's the beauty of this show, is that you guys always get information first. That's something I've always really loved about this show, is getting the opportunity to tell you guys something first before anybody else hears a single word about it. And sometimes I wonder if I should do it, but then I think, well, the audience has grown enough for this where it makes sense to keep doing it, but it's not so big that like it would backfire on me. Like, for example, I talked about it here first, and now it's... I'll mention this first before I get to the acting thing, which I think is really exciting. So in the last few episodes of this show, I have been promoting this June 3rd stand-up comedy show at the America House here in Munich. Let me just give people who don't know anything about this a little explanation. This is so cool. The Bayerischer Rundfunk, the Bavarian Broadcasting Corporation, however you want to say it, Bavarian Broadcasting, they this year are celebrating their 75th year of existence. And they came to me to perform live comedy at the America House, which is a perfectly titled and themed venue to have me, I would say, as a... they want to have me as, you know, like part of the entertainment of the night to commemorate this anniversary. So it's a big honor. You know, this major, like, is there an American equivalent? Maybe something like PBS, you know, like a major public service that that everybody in the whole country knows, has a huge anniversary, and they, you know, they have TV shows, they have radio radios, they have so many things under the umbrella of BR. And they came to me based off of the press of my last comedy show and off of the TV piece that came out about me after that comedy show, which there's a link in my bio, or like there's a link in the show notes here for my my link tree, and you can see that BR piece about me. It is in German. It is dubbed in German, just for those who don't know or prefer to have it in English. Sadly, I don't have it in English. Anyway, so they after that press sort of like blew up from the last show, they approached me to, yeah, like I said, be the comedy to commemorate that evening, and they want to do it at the America House. And God, I'm trying to get to the point, which is basically, I visited the venue, I met the people, we made an agreement on like the day. It's going to be June 3rd. Let me see when this comes out. Yeah, so this comes out on Thursday, the 30th of May, and the show will be the following Monday. So 1, 2, 3, the 4 days after this is released, which is nerve-wracking. And it will be a full hour comedy show. And basically, I announced first on this show, on this podcast, that that was existing before it went public, before it went live, which is something I love to do on here just for the small, like super dedicated fans and friends who listen to this regularly. And they made me wait until, let's see, I met with them. I'm looking at my computer's calendar, which is pretty empty compared to my phone's calendar. I wish they would sync up a little better. I met with them like, you know, April, I don't know, 29-30, right? I met with them on a towards the very, very end of April, maybe that first week of May, and met at the venue and checked out how things work and how it will play out. It's like 310 seats or something like that, at full capacity. It's a beautiful seated conference-y style theater. It's, you know, they screen films there for the film fest. They have a huge, like, really beautiful projector. It's a big black stage, black curtain, black wood, and these big, like, rows and rows and rows of these, like, corporate-style wooden fold-out seats. They do have, I mean, it is like a government building, so it looks a little government-y when you're in there, but for a show, everything will be dark except the stage, and I think it looks pretty beautiful, actually. And we met towards the very end of April, and we met, and they said, the point I'm trying to make is, they said, okay, we're gonna announce it, let's just pick a Monday, I think it was the 20th. They said, okay, in, like, 2.5 weeks... on May the 20th, we are going to announce the show purely on radio. So they didn't want me to put anything out yet. They didn't want me to publish anything, no reels, no stories, no TikToks, nothing about the show yet. They said, we just want to give our listeners a chance first to... And it's free. It was a free show, so we also assumed, okay, the tickets are probably going to go relatively quickly. It's a free thing, and we mentioned, you know, in this article that came out like the day before, it's going to be Jordan's, you know, the same hour that I did in January. It's my original live show. You know, I'm taking out the music. I've done a lot of editing to make it tighter and better and make some of the jokes stronger. And they said, okay, in 2.5 weeks, we're going to do it, just an announcement on the radio, just for our listeners, just for people listening to BR in the moment on that day. And give people from that outlet a chance to get tickets for the event first. Then, the very next day, let's say the 29th or whatever it was, I can publicly announce it on my main Instagram channel, which is now at like 511,000 or something like that. So definitely a pretty big sort of instant audience. I mean, they have a lot of people too, but you know, it's a gamble, like who is currently listening to the radio or currently seeing a thing in a live public broadcast at the time of day. It's a bit of a roll of the dice, but putting it on a bigger social media channel, there's a chance, more likely a chance, that, you know, things will work out same day, you know, depending on like a lot of factors. But anyway, and so they, I got the information. So the 28th, the day that they announced the show on their station, I got an email at the end of the day that was like, okay, I think it's like 310 seats. They wrote me that more or less like 150 seats had been taken the first day from the radio. So that's cool. So of the people that heard about the show on the radio at different times of the day, literally heard about it, went to the link that they talked about, and reserved a free seat under their name. That's pretty amazing. I was not able to get 150 people total to a concert of mine literally all of my life until the last year and a half. So that's still very shocking and very cool for me. That happened, and then the very next day they said, I can go live with a post. I posted in the evening about this show, and I think it was like an hour later. I was checking the comments to see, okay, are people excited about this? Do they care about this? Do they understand that it's the same show? I wanted people to understand that if they've already purchased a ticket for a show in October, that that is a new show, and that if they're going to see the show on the 3rd of June, that that's the show I did in January. Maybe they, I want to make sure they don't think they're, you know, going to get ripped off. I want people who maybe wanted to see the first show in January have a chance to see it again. So I was worried about how it was communicated. I checked the comments like an hour after it was posted or an hour and a half later, and comments were like, oh, thanks a lot, already sold out. And I was like, that's, no, come on. And I went to the website and I checked it for myself to put, like, to register for a ticket as if I was, you know, like going to get a ticket for myself. And it was like, sorry, booked out, can't do it. And so in the first day, half the tickets sold just purely on radio. And then the very next day, within 1 hour, it was like 150 tickets more. That's insane. That's insane. I was actually really worried that the show would sell out because I had just done a promotion for the tour in October. And I had pushed it a lot for people to buy tickets, which they did. You guys did like such an amazing job. It's kind of like I could also, I mean, I've been pretty emotional in this episode, but I could pretty much cry again. Like, that's insane. That did really well. And so I thought, okay, if I'm doing another show in just like a few weeks and they know that it's an old show, probably it's not going to like fully sell out. I thought, okay, 310 seats, maybe I can get like 230. You know, if I'm like the same amount, almost the same amount as the previous show, if I'm lucky. Anyway, that all comes back full circle to say, I announced that show on the podcast originally before the link was up, to be fair. I talked about it to say to people who listen to this, like, just so you know, nice and early, that's going to happen, I think, on this day. And then when I announced it, about an hour later, everything was sold out. So, you know, 4 days from the release of this episode, there's going to be, three or four days. Yeah, whatever. June 3rd is the show. So I'll have something really cool to talk about on next week's episode. But it all comes back to, yeah, talking about things early on here and touching back to Mason's, the opening, you know, the intro about Mason with, acting. There's a friend of mine, you know, I wouldn't say, I don't know this, I don't want to say any names and I can't give too much information away. So it'll be a little bit of a weird tease. But there's a, I would say a new friend, a talented person who works in the film and television industry here in Bavaria, based in Munich, who knows a lot of the same people that I know, a very, very, very sweet, kind, interesting, funny person who loves a lot of the same things that I love, like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and 30 Rock and Curb Your Enthusiasm. And, you know, I, in my opinion, has good taste in like American sitcom culture. And this person basically wrote a series for a network slash streamer, I guess, nowadays. And it is going into full-blown production. So what that means is, like, for those who maybe don't understand that, like, that term. There's in development, and then there's, I'm sure I'm missing some steps, like pre-production, then there's in production. I should make it clear, this is still, like, it has been, you know, it has been, like, accepted by a production company, this series that this person created. It's a comedy sitcom. I'm thinking like 10 episodes, I'm pretty sure. And the sitcom was accepted by the production company and then pitched to different streamers and networks. Someone took it and they greenlit it. So being greenlit means now it's time to put the steps in order to make the show. Everything is in order. They are doing casting any day now. It's supposed to shoot, which means be in production to produce it. It's like making the show in September already. So all the really hard roll of the dice things that you just never are sure that are ever going to happen ever have been secured for this person's show, which is really exciting. It's a very cool person, very nice person. And they have a show that, yeah, basically full-blown greenlit and will be shooting in this in September. This person, after all of this buildup, offered me my own role in the show. Now, that is really cool, very kind of them, and very different from the opportunity that I had, I want to say, last year, when the creator of the show I worked on called Wrong was pitching a new show to be taken by streamers or networks. And I was given a role for this. We shot like kind of a 9-minute version of like a pilot episode that never went to air. People didn't see it. And unfortunately, it just wasn't accepted. It wasn't interesting to people, like networks, at the time. It just didn't work. And that happens all the time. That happens like 99% of the time. So to be accepted and taken and to be greenlit by a network and a production company and all that stuff is more and more rare. So it's very cool that that happened. And then for this person to create the show to directly offer me a role is just so, like, so cool. I wish I could say, I think soon I can say more about it. I'm waiting for a script. I know for sure there is one episode in this season that I am more or less leading, which is really crazy. I am playing an American in a certain location where the show is based for different reasons. I am there and I'm in Germany and I'm kind of more or less playing a goofy version of myself. We have had phone calls where we talk about inspirations for the character, things I will be wearing, motivations that this person will have, how this person thinks, the character I'm talking about. And I love it. I'm very excited to do it. I'm very grateful to be in this position. And I'm just hoping that things don't get shut down along the way, because it happens all the time. But I should be getting a script soon for this big episode. I think I pop up in little things here and there. I would probably only be on set for like a few days. Totally cool. If the show does well, it would mean I get to come back. And this might even be a chance to, it might even be good for the show that I have been working on, my own project, which now the pitch is completely finished for that. And we will see what the final feedback will be from the production company and see if they are ready to ship it out and see if a network or a streamer will take it. So maybe with them knowing that I'll be part of that other thing that's already like going, it could be, you know, adding some, you know, putting a little fuel on the fire, maybe, of like, well, you know, he's got some things going on. Maybe it's good to just give this a chance. So let's see. But that's so exciting. And it's such a funny year. I feel like sometimes I really can't even keep up. And I don't mean that in the sense of like, oh, things are so good for me that I can barely keep track of my successes. It's like, I am just like literally not being able to keep track of like what is, I'm getting a little bit overwhelmed. It's not with it's not with things like this. I mean, I can see the window for this. It's like, it's a few days. I'll have plenty of time to look over what's written. It's a comedy. I'm a funny person. I'm going to be fine. That is like such an honor. You know, I don't expect any, I don't need or expect anything in return for that. The opportunity itself is like so cool. I am mostly getting overwhelmed by just the stack of like things that are potential opportunities and things that are have not worked out. And it's also interesting to me to be in this position and to say, well, it's the best position I've ever been in. However, comparison is still the thief of joy. And I'm still comparing myself to people in my niche. I'm still comparing myself to people who I consider to be peers, and it's so unhealthy. And I consistently think about why or how they get to the stage that they are. And it's so, such a gross, like, way of pooping on all these cool opportunities. It's a human thing. It's a thing we all experience. But I have like, you know, I have like contracts to sign and I have taxes to take care of. And then there's like, not even to mention like what an enormous percentage of my personal life takes up my time. And then in the other window of professional time is like these videos for these different companies, the daily content, the podcast itself, these, you know, potential television projects that I work very hard to do my best on, and goals for like what's coming up and to hopefully get invited to different events. And then on top of that, on top of all that effort and all that work, there is still that lonely moment of like sitting on a toilet, scrolling through my phone and seeing someone that I know who got an opportunity that I was up for. And it's just that classic thing I always hear about from the, like the LA actors who were like, yeah, of course, you know, it was like, it was either going to be Leonardo DiCaprio or Joaquin Phoenix, you know, and like everybody was afraid of him. He was going to get it. And it's such a different world now because it's not like a major film project, but instead it's like a, you know, a video client brand deal. And you see someone that you know, who you've spoken to even before, who knows you. And you don't know if they know that you were up for the same thing, but you do know that the company chose them over you now, and it's not even a secret, and it feels like, oh, are they better at doing that thing, or did they just choose them because they already have a bigger following, so they have a potential... I think it's such a weird business in the way that, like, you can tell that, like, companies... Are you know, I don't know. It's a weird thing to say because it almost sounds like I don't think that some of the people who I've seen get things are good or not. I do. They have their thing and I think they've done it well. Obviously, they wouldn't have the followers they have. But sometimes I do feel like companies just choose people based on the numbers, which is such an industry thing to do, which is so nauseating to not take the risk. However, that is always how it's always been in TV and film. I know people now who get things greenlit, certain projects that they get to the next step with, and, you know, they want to get a certain actor attached to it that they know would do a great job personifying a character that they've put so much love and attention into, and then the production company will say, like, well, we don't want this person that you saw in a theater production once. We want this name, because the name will sell eyeballs, and part of you is so disappointed in that because it's about more than that. But in the eyes of the moneymakers, it's not about more than that. Okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with that thought process. I don't like that anymore. There's a lot of good things going on, and who cares if you see somebody, you know, getting an opportunity that you wanted but didn't get? You know what? Maybe it would have sucked. Maybe the payment wasn't what you, you know, would have wanted to get anyway. Maybe the commitment is longer than you would have wanted. And the thing is, here I am in such a privileged position talking about things from my own studio with an agency behind my back that has been doing such great things for me, who supports me and who I'm about to, you know, sign a contract with that I'm really supportive of. Just mentioned like sending off my TV pitch and like getting brought in to be an actor on a show that is done by someone that I know and how cool that is. And of course, there's always the big movie that Moritz did that I should be able to talk more about later this year. There's, you know, I mentioned earlier how this America House show, you know, half the tickets sold out from a radio interview and half the tickets sold out from an Instagram announcement. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. And you know what? Who am I to come on here and complain? This is ridiculous. I'm on my own podcast and I shouldn't tell myself that I can never do that, but I mean, I hear myself. I hear how I sound right now, and it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. I mean, this tour is just like a handful of tickets from being completely sold out. In my show notes, there's an interview with Christina P. In my link tree, there's all nice press and interviews and things. And you know what? I should just stop complaining. This is really silly. Let me look through my notes here. Like, yes, Mason's out. He was an awesome guest. America House sold out. Listen, talking about things to promote early on this show. July 20th, Saturday, July 20th, there is a small festival taking place about 40 minutes outside Munich. A little small festival called Brim Bam Borium. Let me take a little gander at this. Let's see. Brim Bam Borium. I don't think they even... Do they have a website? Well, you know what? They have a Instagram. So they are a Kultur, Kunst and Musik Festival on the 19th and the 20th of July. I am taking place on July 20th. They have some great people on there. I am doing a little bit of comedy and most importantly, some music. Again, which I have not done in a while. You can get your tickets at Instagram's Brim Bam. You know what? I'm going to put it in the show notes. So in the show notes right now for this show, I'm going to make it right now while we're talking. The first link, the very, very first link, you can go to Brim Bam Borium's Instagram and check out their links there and get a ticket. They have some really cool German acts. There's some artists like Liquid and Maniac, whom I know. And they have before, let's see, who else? They've had some crazy people on here before. They have had, let me see who I know. I don't know a lot of people, but they have had people that I do know, which means something, because they have to have, like, Das Ding aus dem Sumpf. I know that guy. They have had, let me go here. They got early bird tickets. Basically, it's a big, cool, open-air, sort of hippie-style festival that takes place in this beautiful area in Germany, in the woods, and it's exactly what you imagine, like, a very hippie festival to look like. There's nature and woods and grass, and it looks like midsummer with people who are not scratched that they are taking drugs. It's a big, beautiful, open-air, sunny, woodsy area. On the daytime... The daytime slots, they have a lot of families there with kids and beer benches. I am going to play a 7 o'clock slot on July 20th. I don't think it's publicly announced yet, but here we are, artsy fartsy immigrant style. Brim Bam Borium. I don't exactly know where or how they got that name, but I'm going to do a 45-minute set, 45 to an hour. I'm going to do some comedy. It will be a mix of some content from my first comedy show, which again, I'm doing, next Monday, and the one back in January, a mixture of some honed in jokes from this stand-up and some new material to practice for the tour. So anyone listening, who wants to, you know, let me see if they say here where it is. You know what I'm going to do? Instead of putting their Instagram in the... You know what? No, I'll leave it. The Instagram is in the show notes, and from there you can see what it looks like. And then if you like the way it looks in their bio, there's a link for tickets. I was going to put just directly the ticket link, but then you have no idea what this thing looks like. Their tagline is Brim Bam Borium, knackig und bunt und frisch. Let me look up what... God... German to English. I should know this. I should know this. Knuckig. Crisp. Okay, I thought that meant like snacky. Knackig and bunt. Like, so, yeah. So, crisp and beautiful and fresh. Okay. That's Brim Bamborium. I'm playing there July 20th, about a 45 to an hour minute slot. And most importantly, comedy and music. It's, you know, I think I'm playing in front of like a beer bench, like some seated areas there. And I just want to make that clear. It's not a full comedy set and it's not a full music set. So if you're a music fan of mine, which there are at least two of them listening, Moritz and Mom, if you guys are in the area and you want to see me play some live music, which I have not done in a while, I will be doing that casually and in a relaxed setting at this event, because there will be people there with their kids running around and having beer on a beautiful, hopefully sunny Saturday. And for those who know me for my comedy, I will be doing some new material there. So there you go. Brim Bamborium. And yes, like I said before, I'm going to move forward with my agency. I just had the contract with them looked over by a friend who is a talent lawyer here and manager here in Munich. And it looks pretty good to me. I'm going to give them some notes and then get that thing, that bad boy, signed off. And let me see here. I think actually on this list, I talked about everything I was going to talk about. I spent way more time on Mason than I thought I would. But you know what? Sometimes the heart just speaks and you have to just let it flow out. But yeah, June 3rd sold out. Let me take a look here at something else just quickly. While I've got your ear, let me just take a little gander here. Yes, right. You can't see what I'm looking at, but oh yeah, I might be doing I think I am doing a collaboration with a supermarket here in Germany called Penny, which is pretty funny. If anyone wants to see it, it's Penny, like literally like 1 cent, P-E-N-N-Y. .de for those who don't live in Germany. If you live in Germany, you know what Penny is. Penny and I are doing a brand deal together, and that's pretty funny. I guess I can officially say it now because we're in the development stage now. And I sent them a concept, and I shouldn't say what the whole thing is about. I'm not going to say what the product is exactly, like the angle of the ad, what that is, because that would be stupid. But there is one funny thing that they told me. So like, for those who don't know, when you do these brand partnerships with companies, you will send in like a script, like an outline saying, I picture this. So you have this person here, this is the conversation. Then you write out like some dialogue and you incorporate their angle or their campaign or their product the best way you can while keeping things exciting and fun. They have a thing called a brief, like companies have these things called a brief, which they are very much anything but. They are long, exhausting PDFs of like everything they want, everything they do, how amazing they are, and how perfect your video needs to be. And it took me probably 6 months to realize, oh, they all say the same thing. Like, it has to be exciting. It has to be fresh. It has to have a good hook. It has to have this. Don't say this. Don't be racist. Don't start fires. Don't show other brands. You're like, yeah, I got it. And, you know, I'm always double checking, like, do these companies know that I'm going to do the video in English? Can we double check with them? Is that all right? And it's always, I feel like I'm always rolling the dice. Which is apparently a phrase I say a lot on this show with these companies. Anyway, Penny, I made a concept where my German character, Johannes, and my American version of myself, Jordan, are, they're doing an activity. And when Jordan goes to reach for like a certain product, his hand gets slapped to provide a better version of that. You can kind of see where this is going. Then there's like a, you know, comedy famously is executed in rules of three. And that once you know that rule, you'll never unsee that or unhear that. every classic joke works in a rule of three. I will give you a good example of that, and you can see why this script is in the format that it is. So, rule of thirds in comedy, and I'll end with this because this might be boring, but it's a good joke. Apologies in advance, mother. This joke has nasty language in it. Rule of thirds in comedy means every joke will say, here's the setup, and one day this happens. Okay, here's a reaction. The next day this happens. Here's the different reaction. And then number three, and there's the thing. There's the joke. So here's a good example of that. A man walks into a pet store and says that he wants to buy a parrot. And the guy at the pet store says, oh, well, you don't want to buy this parrot. He's got a filthy, disgusting potty mouth. You don't want him. No one wants this parrot. And the guy says, no, no, no. I can take it. I want the parrot. So he buys the parrot and he takes it home. The next day he goes to work. He comes home and the parrot says, hey, mister. Hey, mister. And he goes, yeah, what do you want? And the bird goes, go fuck yourself. And the guy says, hey, you cannot talk to me like that. And he goes and he slaps the cage around and shakes the bird. And then he goes to bed. And the next day he goes to work and he comes home and the bird says, hey, mister, hey, mister. And the guy says, what? And the bird goes, go fuck yourself. And the guy says, hey, I told you, you cannot talk to me like that. And he shakes the bird and takes it out of the cage and punches it and whips it around and almost drowns it and says, if you tell me to go fuck myself one more time, I'm going to kill you. Puts the bird back in the cage, goes to bed. Next day, goes to work, comes back home, opens the door. Bird goes, hey, mister, hey, mister. The guy goes, what? And the bird goes, you know what? Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's the classic rule of thirds there. So, hey, mister, what? Do this. Hey, mister, mister, don't do it again. Second time, don't do it again. Third time, something different. So, in this one, you know, that my script is way less funny than that joke. That joke's great. Basically, Jordan wants to do something. Johannes slaps his hand and says, no, do this. This is better. Second one, Jordan goes to do something. Johannes slaps his hand and says, no, this is better. Third one, Johannes shows Jordan something that's better, a change he should make, corporate related. And Jordan says, oh, this is great. And as a response, in my original script, slaps Johannes across the face and has a big smile on his face. And then Johannes is supposed to go like, yeah, Jordan, you are learning now. You know, like it's supposed to be that they both like that he has, you know, picked up the slap. And the only corporate note, there's a few little tiny corporate notes throughout this thing. Very standard corrections that a lot of companies want to make, like don't show other brands and can you make sure that they say this? In the very end, it's like, can he please take out the part with the slap? So at the very end, it's a very happy story. He gets his hand slapped a couple of times, and on the third attempt to do something different, he's just simply shown the better way, and then goes like, thank you, Johannes. This is really great. I love that you have shown me this. And Johannes goes, you are learning. This is great now. We are best friends. The end. But that's so funny. That's such a consistent and funny part of this world that I'm working in now, is like dealing with these companies. And they always basically finally agree on working with you or picking you at the tail end of their campaign. So you wait for weeks to see, did we get it? Did they want to do that? How's it going to work? And then when they say yes, you're like, cool. So what's the idea? And they say, here's the idea. Here's the deadline. Here's the campaign. Here's the brief. And you have 3 days to make a concept and you have one day after that to shoot it. And you're like, what? I just waited 3 weeks to find out if we're even going to work together. And in the 3 weeks of just like wondering if, you couldn't have like given me the stuff beforehand to give you an idea. Now I'm like, now it's approved. Now we sign like the paper that says, yes, we'll do a video. And you give me like 72 hours to make up a whole new, like an ad for you. It's insane. And they are all like that. I'll tell you that, like as a little insider thing, they are all like that. Every company from literally Google, I have worked now with Google twice. one for the Google app, and once for Google Chrome, the browser. Both times, it has been like that. So the highest you can imagine going in terms of like corporate contracts, they have all been like that, all the way down to like a local soda company. I have also worked with a Munich-based like local soda company, which was great. They actually paid more than Google, which is insane. But Google is sort of like, you know, you want to work with us. And we're like, kinda. And then the local soda company is like, I think we'd like to work with you. We can offer you this. And we're like, that sounds great. We'd love that. And everything from Google Chrome to the local soda company is like, okay, we finally decided we'd love to work with Jordan. We love what he does. He has 12 hours to make a concept, and then two or three minutes after that to shoot it. And you're like, excuse me? But it's always the same. Guys, I'm going to wrap up with that one. Sorry for the little slaggy, annoying, little whiny part in the middle. But you know what? It's been a heck of a day and my mind just wandered. But I think we solved it in a really fun and interesting way with that great parrot joke. So make sure to save that one and tell your friends. If you enjoyed this, or you felt connected, or you just chimed in for the first time for this, let me know. It's free to subscribe. It really means a lot to me. So please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. Comment, review, rate the show. It helps new people like us find the show. Again, Brim Bamborium is on July 20th. It's a beautiful Saturday, about 40 minutes outside Munich. June 3rd, they might announce, if anyone cancels on June 2nd, saying like they're sick or they can't make it, they will put those spare tickets back into the system. So please, double check. If you want to see a fresh show on June 3rd, next Monday, if you haven't seen it already, make sure to check for those free, absolutely free tickets, as free as it is to subscribe to this show. I love you guys. Thank you so much and have a great week. Bye-bye. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.